Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. We are on week 20 of our 30-week marriage devotional series, which is pretty incredible. Have you been enjoying it?
I have.
It's been awesome. This devotional series is based on our two devotional set for husbands and wives called Husband After God and Wife After God. And so we wanted to take a moment to encourage you, if you haven't yet, and we're almost done with this series, but it's not too late. Go get a copy of our devotionals, Husband After God, Wife After God. We wrote them for you, for your marriage. Either you could pause this episode right now and go get it, or you can wait until at the end of this episode and go to shop.marriageaftergod.com. They're called Husband After God and Wife After God. And even though this series is based on the Devos, we just want to let you know that there's so much more you can get out of having them in your hand, because the content we use in this series is based on the book, but it's not from the book necessarily. So there's different content in the book. There's also spaces for you to write your own notes, answer your own questions.
Prayers also.
But the most important benefit of having these devotionals on hand in your house, on your nightstand, is that you get to do this with your spouse if you wanted to. We suggest that, actually. It's better that way. You guys can just discuss the topics together, pray with each other. And speaking of prayer, this episode and the next couple are actually on prayer.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's kind of like a series within a series.
Yeah,
because it's
a little mini-series.
Yeah, because the next few episodes will be based around prayer and different aspects of prayer and your marriage. So we're really excited about this. And like you said earlier, when you asked if I've been enjoying it, like we hope that you guys have been enjoying this series too. It's been fun to put together, especially going back, because we wrote the devotionals back in 2011, 2012. And so
they're evergreen. So they don't ever need to be necessarily changed, because the content is always the same.
It's been fun to go back through it. Yeah. So anyways, here we are at week 20. And this is all about prayer for you.
Prayer for you.
Prayer for yourself.
Yeah. It sounds very selfish, but it's very important, actually. Learning to pray for ourselves is something that we need to do.
Yeah. And it's important not just to ourselves and our relationship with God, but it's also important for our relationships with our spouse and with our kids, because they're the number one benefactors from a person who is dedicated and committed to a life of prayer. Obviously, it's going to impact us, but next in line comes your spouse and your children.
Yeah, our spiritual discipline and life they're necessary. They're non-negotiable, specifically for being prepared for what life's going to bring, because life brings lots of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and also just for our walk with God, we have an enemy that hates us and wants to trip us up, and so just having these spiritual disciplines, specifically one of those disciplines is a prayer life, is something that helps prepare us for those things.
Yeah. And you said the word necessary, and it really, truly is, you know, such a beautiful but also powerful way that we get to live our life as believers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like it's necessary for us to drink water and eat nutritious food and exercise and even like have friendship and love and education, like all these things that make up who we are, our prayer life matters to the same extent. Our relationship with God, understanding his word and spending time with him, that is at its core intimacy with the Lord. And it's an incredible, extraordinary thing that we get the privilege of doing.
Yeah. We wanted to like start off this episode with just talking about the level of importance. Adam and Eve, okay. Adam himself, the first man, was formed from the dust of the earth. So he was there, he had form, he was a man, but he wasn't actually alive until God breathed life into him.
That's kind of a weird thought.
Yeah. God needed to give him life. Acts 17:28 puts it this way. Paul's speaking to the Athenians. He says, "For in him, God, we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." Now he's talking to these Athenians, trying to convert them. And he's bringing up their own poets and their own gods that they worship. But what he's pointing out is that in God we live and have our being. We cannot exist without God. Mm. We cannot live without God. He holds all things together, the Bible says. And so if we are indeed his offspring, which as believers we are, and on a grander sense, human beings are the offspring.
Because we were created by him.
We're created
by him. We
only
exist because of him.
Then our being, mm-hmm. our existence, is reliant upon him in every way possible. Mm-hmm. So, and I want to say something. This is a big thing. Fearfully, I would imagine that our need for God's word, for an intimate prayer life, is more vital and necessary than the very food and water we need to live. Mm-hmm. Now, we need food and water to live, of course. But I say this fearfully because if we do need him more than we need food, meaning we need him to hold us together, we need every cell of our being to be held in place by God himself, and we neglect our relationship with him, we truly are the most starved. Mm. Like spiritually, mm-hmm. like that is the truth. Of course, we can go on living, quote unquote, this life, but without being connected to the vine, without God, we don't have true life. The Bible even says this, like there's true life is only found in God through Christ Jesus. So when I'm not praying, it's like I'm holding my breath. It's like we're living on something other than oxygen. Mm. And I think most Christians, myself included, you included, this is often our life. We're living on something other than oxygen. We're like starving ourselves for the true oxygen, the true life from God.
And we might not even like notice or are aware that yeah. we're starving ourselves in this way. But maybe you've noticed this. Maybe you noticed that it feels like you're in the middle of a desert or some kind of drought. And then all of a sudden you pray out to God in this desperation and you feel revived again. That's because you're connecting with the one who's created you. And so we just want to make it a point for us to understand how easy it can be to dismiss something like prayer, but how vital it is for us to be able to mm-hmm. truly live with this.
It's a good point you brought up of not recognizing it. And often it's when we become the most desperate, when we feel like mm-hmm. we're in that drought, we're like, mm-hmm. oh, something's missing. What have I been doing? Why do I feel so? Often we say God feels distant, but really it's we're mm-hmm. the ones that feel distant. Job 32:12 says it this way. Job says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Mm-hmm. So Job is even showing in his own heart his love for God's word, his love for the commandments, his love for God himself, how much more important that is than food itself. And so we're highlighting the importance of this mm-hmm. in our lives. And I do want to go back. If we're feeling dry, we're feeling distant from God, often our connection to the vine, prayer, the word of God, truly seeking him, as the word says, like, if you seek me, you will find me. Mm-hmm. Those who seek me will receive me. So we need to recognize that that's probably a sign mm-hmm. that maybe I've been there, you know, in my life. I know you've been there. Mm-hmm. This isn't unique to us. It's a common thing as humans that we struggle with. So
it's good. The Bible talks about prayer. It talks about, you know,
a little bit, yeah.
talks about here it. And there, how we should pray and how often we should pray. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says that we should pray without ceasing.
Yeah, this is often one of those. Hard scriptures are like, really? Like, how do I pray without ceasing? Mm. I'm sure we've even heard.
Like, is that possible?
Yeah. Well, we often, I think it often gets written off as like, well, this isn't possible. It's more of like, let's just have a lifestyle of prayer. We've even shared this, mm-hmm. this concept. And that is true. Like, in essence, it's like, we can't, because we're human, really pray without ceasing. But what it is saying is to pray without ceasing.
Like to be continually praying.
Yeah. And think about what our lives would look like if we were continually praying. Maybe it's not out loud, but like in our minds, a constant conversation with God, constantly meditating and reminding ourselves of his word, listening and actively looking for him to speak to us. Mm. I think we would experience God in a different way.
Well, life as well, because I know like if a certain negative thought or, you know, an anxious thought gets in my head, that is all that I'm thinking about. And I can't simultaneously think a negative thought, but
an anxious thought,
but also be thinking about what I'm praying about or what I'm talking to God about. That's like dual action. Like, well, can you do that?
I will say, I think you can if that anxious thought turns into a prayer. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh,
but that's different.
I'm afraid, Lord. Why do I feel this way, Lord?
Right.
But what do you think happens if that's the response to anxiousness? Or
I think we would overcome it quicker.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I think the word of God would, like God would, by his Holy Spirit, comfort. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, mm-hmm. like here's what I said, what my word says about that. Mm-hmm. So I think this idea of praying without ceasing is it is actually keeping an open conversation with the Lord. And when we do that, we'll actually be tapped into the source of life itself, which is God. He's our creator. Mm-hmm. Just like Adam was breathed into by God. Mm-hmm. Like we could be praying and talking to God and asking him to do the same to us.
I got this image as you were talking of a lamp that you have to plug in to have it turn on. Mm-hmm. And if the light represents, you know, our prayer life and we're just constantly plugging it in and unplugging it, it's like
yeah.
not as useful as if you just plugged it in and left it on.
So again, this is a way of highlighting the level of importance this is. And so in today's devotional, it's not meant to shame you or me.
You're not doing enough.
It's not our heart. Yeah. Like, you're not praying enough. Because to be honest, none of us are praying enough. Yeah. We're not. Rather, it's to emphasize the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And to encourage us to grow personally in our prayer life. That mm-hmm. we can say, okay, I haven't talked to God much mm-hmm. lately. I want to get back to that. And so when I was writing the notes for this, I was reminded, I was getting dressed in the closet and Jennifer's like, what's taking so long? And I'm like, I'm writing notes down. Like I had this idea in my head. I was thinking about.
Because I heard stirring and then I just heard nothing for a while.
I know. I was standing there on my phone, like trying to like write these notes down. Cause I forget things so easily. And so I was just reminded of what flight attendants remind us of when they're doing their safety briefing before the plane takes off. And they, when it comes to the mask thing, and it was always weird to me, it makes sense, but it was always weird. They say when the mask drops down and in the case of emergency, it says, secure your mask first, then secure your child's or your wife's or someone next to you. What they're saying is don't wait to put yours on.
Because if you're trying to save another life, that risks yours, and then you might pass out.
Yeah, like while you're trying to put it on your son, and then you pass out, and now you can't help anyone.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, this idea of praying for yourself is, let's learn how to be people who put the air mask of prayer on ourselves so that we're ready and able to be putting it on for others, which is going to be next episode, actually, is talking about praying for your spouse. But this one's about our own personal prayer life for ourselves. And that encompasses a lot of things. There's a lot of prayer in my own heart and mind that's not about me, but it's my own personal prayer life. So I loved that picture of, let's put the mask on first so that we're
ready
and able to put it on for someone else.
It's so good. And as mothers and fathers, we need to be reliant on prayer so that our kids also grow up knowing how to do it, when to do it. And that just becomes a part of, you know, just sharing that aspect of your life with them is important and good.
I want to gloat on my children for a bit. There's been several times that, you know, over the years, all of our children have bad dreams and they come in and they're like, I have a bad dream and I'll pray for them. But what was cool is our older son and actually our other older son, we found out that in the middle of the night, one of our younger sons would wake up and had a bad dream and the other one would just pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. And they wouldn't get up and come to us, which is also kind of sad, but it's cool.
Just because they're getting older.
Yeah, they're getting older. But they're praying for each other. So what you were just talking about is that lifestyle that we are trying to portray to them, and not in a false way, but like really care about it, is being, you know, adopted by them.
So cool.
And that's, again, one of the benefits of this. So
being able to pray to the Lord and sharing in that intimacy with him, being able to pray for yourself, it's such an amazing gift that we have that as believers to be able to be connected to Christ in that way and just have a personal relationship with him. This is why we are sharing about this topic. This is why we wrote it in the devotional. This is why we've spent years in our ministry promoting the daily prayer email. Like, we've done so much to encourage couples to have a heart of prayer, and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep encouraging you guys, because even if, like you said, we're really great at prayer, there's probably still a margin in our life where we're not. And so it's
And I would even say, like, we aren't, because it's something that we need to practice more often, and we get into lulls and we forget and we're tired. But this whole thing, what, you know, writing all these notes has been encouraging me. So you said gift.
Yeah.
Like, prayer is a gift, and it really is, because when we come to know God, it's not an impersonal relationship. Mm-hmm. It's an actual invitation to a personal relationship with God himself.
Yeah.
We no longer need earthly priests.
No mediator in that way.
In that way. Like I don't need to go to someone. And say, I can go to someone and like ask my wife to pray for me, but I don't need to. Meaning I can go directly to God myself. It is beneficial to go to your brothers and sisters in Christ to have them pray over you. The Bible talks about this, but there is no wall between us and God anymore. We can boldly go ourselves. Why don't you read Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, and it talks about this.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
This is probably one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, just talking about the brotherhood of Christ, that he is like us. He understands us. He knows us. But because of what he did, we can, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. We can come to God with boldness in our hearts, not pride, but a humility, but with access, without fear of going before him, and that he will actually hear us and listen to us. Something that should really convict our hearts when it comes to prayer and encourage us is that the same time is that it, Jesus, the perfect God-man, needed to go away and pray alone. And that he did often. So it should convict us and encourage us that Jesus, being the perfect God-man, needed to go away and pray alone.
He was also showing us an example just through his life, the way that he lived.
But if Jesus did, how much more do we need to? How much more do we need to do what Jesus did? And what's awesome is that the Bible actually, Jesus even tells us, do as I did, do. Like Paul said, do as I do, as I follow Christ, follow me. So Hebrews 5, 7 through 8, in the days of his flesh, so Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he was alive on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus was in the flesh like we were. We are. Again, we just read in that other section of scripture about Jesus being our high priest who is able to sympathize with us. He was in the flesh. He knows us so well because he is us. And maybe this is why prayer is so important, because in the flesh, we are in desperate need of constant connection with our true home, with our Creator, because our flesh is so, wants the things that are not of God, and the Spirit wants what is of God. So while in the flesh, we have a desperate need for prayer. Jesus knew this, and we need to remember this as well. So if Jesus knew it, if Jesus needed it, if Jesus went to his Father regularly and was in constant prayer, then we need it all the more, because we are not Jesus, and we need help. So it's a powerful thing to convict our hearts to recognize that the God-man needed prayer. So
I love it. Another time that Jesus went alone to pray was when one of his dearest, I mean, closest friend and cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded, and he went away to grieve. In Matthew 14, 13 through 23, it says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Verse 22 says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone.
Yeah, this is something I never realized about this story. This is about the feeding of the 5,000, which we all know. We all know this story, like, wow, he did this amazing miracle. But it began with Jesus hearing the news of John the Baptist being beheaded, mm-hmm. and him wanting to go and be alone to probably pray and grieve. Because when it says he went to go to a desolate place by himself, that's what he would do, to pray. But he gets caught by all these crowds of people that are looking for him. And instead of being frustrated, instead of like pushing away and saying, no, I need my alone time, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Then he fed them all.
Busy guy.
Yeah, but then immediately after that, another thing that's amazing is he sends his disciples away and he stays behind to clean up. He's like, I'll dismiss everyone. You guys go on ahead. But he does that, and then he goes off by himself to pray. So he knew that even though his personal time was interrupted and served those around him, he immediately, when he was done, went to be alone with God.
Yeah, he didn't miss the purpose he had intended. He didn't forget about it. He didn't not do it, right?
One, he was probably exhausted. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that, a long day. Mm-hmm. It was all the way until the evening. And then, like, was working, talking to people, waited until the last person left, mm-hmm. and then went alone. You know, often in my life, I'm like, I'm just too, I need to go to bed. Like, let's just do it tomorrow. We'll do it in the morning. And I let my flesh be in charge of that rather than my spirit being like, oh, I need this. And so just going back to, if Jesus needed this, there is no doubt in my mind that we cannot live without it. Like, we need prayer more than we have it now. It's a big deal.
When we were reading through the verses, I couldn't help but notice that Jesus went up to a mountain to pray when he finally got that alone time.
After he sent his disciples off ahead of him in the boat.
And I know his prayer first started out with probably that grieving over John the Baptist and wanting to spend that time with the Lord. But I can't help but, you know, say that from his vantage point, he could see the disciples in the boat going on their way.
Yep.
And those were close friends of his and people that he really loved and cared about as well. And so my mind just goes to what types of prayers he might have been praying for them and, you know, the things that they would endure. And I just, I don't know. I don't know why that feels special to me, but just the fact that he was, in a way, praying over them, probably.
Well, it's a good point you're making. When we slow down and take the time to pray, those people come to mind.
Yeah.
Like, we actually begin to contemplate and think about those in our lives. And then we think about people that we don't usually think about because, like, it goes beyond there. Like, oh, I wonder how that person's doing. And then we start praying for that person.
That's true.
So getting away and slowing down and dedicating time to talk to God, the Spirit of God is going to speak. He's going to bring to our minds people. He's going to bring to our minds scripture. He's going to bring to our minds sin. He's going to speak to us. It's a powerful thing.
So cool. Well, even though that's about praying for others, that little tangent, we'll save that topic for next week. But today is all about praying for yourself. And so we kind of want to narrow down into this idea of how important it is for us to be praying for ourselves. There's lots of things that we can be praying for. And, you know, maybe there's thoughts that cross your mind, like you can't pray for yourself because that would be selfish. Or maybe you feel like you don't want to share those details with God for some reason. Like maybe you struggle with intimacy and you just don't know how to open up in that way.
That's me. I'm raising my hand. I struggle with that.
Or sometimes you're like me and you just feel embarrassed, even in front of God, that you know you've made a mistake or tripped over your own feet, whatever it is. That actually happened to me this last week, but. Sometimes it feels because when you're praying, you're vulnerable, you're letting yourself be known. And that can have a lot of different thoughts that come with it.
You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem Health Share Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at redeemhealthshare.org for more information. That's redeemhealthshare.org for more information.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, it's a very intimate thing. It's one of the most intimate things we can do is praying with your spouse, praying mm-hmm. with God. And so you're having this interaction with God. You're having this engagement with God that is very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to encourage you today that first and foremost, God for sure wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
He does. If it wouldn't be a command to pray without ceasing, that we would pray always mm-hmm. and for everything and in everything, if God didn't want us to pray. Mm-hmm. And there's been some people that would say like, well, if he knows everything, which he does, why does he need me to pray? He knows. That's interesting.
Here's my answer to that. I think it's different to know something versus someone offering up that knowledge. And so sure, God can know something, everything about us, but it's so different when you offer that up as a gift of I want you to know me.
Well, it's relational. Mm-hmm. On one side, yes, he is God mm-hmm. and he knows. On the other side, he wants a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. I think about our children. Like me and my wife, we see things that our children don't think we see.
Yeah.
And we can know things that they don't think we know. Mm-hmm. But how awesome it is when they come to us and they tell us something that mm-hmm. we already know, but they freely offer it up to mm-hmm. us. What that shows is they want a relationship with us. They cherish our relationship.
And that there's trust.
And there's trust. So he wants you to share your heart with him. You're mm-hmm. his child, just like our children are our children. Mm-hmm. He cares so much that we talk to him, that he even helps us to pray when we do not know how to pray. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. Because he knows how hard it's going to be mm-hmm. for us. He knows that we're not going to have the words. He knows that even when we think we have the words, we're going to say the wrong ones. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God knows. He's like, I get it. Prayer is going to be hard. You're going to be tired. You're not going to know what to pray for. You're going to come to me and your mind's going to go blank.
There's other times where we're not super humble and our prayers don't come out the way that they probably should.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, you know, maybe we need help a little bit in our honesty.
Imagine the Holy Spirit's like, God, okay, so
give them one more chance.
They didn't mean that. What they actually meant was.
That's how he's interceding for yeah. us. That's funny. I'm trying to take it serious here.
God knows prayer will be hard. So he helps us with all of that. And to be honest, the Bible even tells us we don't know what to pray. Mm-hmm. It says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. It's a statement. It's not saying for when we don't know mm-hmm. what to pray. We're saying you don't know what to pray for. So that should take some of the burden off. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, what do I pray for? Like, that's great. The Holy Spirit knows. Mm-hmm. He knows your heart. He knows God's heart.
But this is a really cool thing about prayer is when the Holy Spirit's interceding for us, what's happening in that conversation really is God is aligning our hearts with his.
That's
aligning
what's happening.
His our wills with his.
Yeah, it's not aligning his will with ours.
No.
It's the other way around. Mm-hmm. So the encouragement is pray and know that God wants to commune with you.
Yeah.
He wants a relationship with you. He sent his son to die for it. Mm-hmm. And also the Spirit of God knows your heart, knows his heart. I know I mentioned that already, but I just want to remind you that the Spirit of God knows you better than you.
Yeah.
It knows God better than you know God. So he can connect those dots way better than we can.
Romans 8:27 says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Hmm.
That's another awesome thing is he's going to pray according to God's will.
Yeah. So you can trust him.
There's times that we're going to pray and something that's not in his will. And we don't know, but the Holy Spirit does, and he's praying with us and for us.
Just like you were talking about just a minute ago about
communing
with God, and that it's a relationship and it's how we engage with him. Compare it to, I'm sure you guys have heard this before, but your spouse, like your spouse wants to hear from you on a daily basis. It would feel weird if you guys just existed and didn't talk to
you
each other.
You know I love you. I don't have to talk to you.
Like, I love it when you explain why you love me. But God's like that. Like, he wants to hear our voice. He wants to know what's in our hearts and see inside of your soul. And, you know, he wants to be there for all the little interactions and ways that we experience life. He wants to be a part of it.
Something that's interesting is I think because God is so relational that we are also like him and are relational. I think it's because God is relational is why we're that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're like this weird similarity to him, but relationship is something he invented.
Mm-hmm.
We desire intimacy because God is that way.
Mm-hmm.
He has been for all of eternity with the Son and with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
been in an intimate, close relationship. And so because he is love and relational and he made us that way. He made his beloved creation in his own image to join in that perfect eternal union.
Yeah.
So he's had this perfect union and this perfect intimacy and this perfect relationship that he loves so much. And then he makes man in his image and gives us the ability and opportunity through his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit to join in that same union.
Mm-hmm.
He's relational. He wants it. It's not a transaction. It's not like, oh, I need to say this many prayers. I need to do this. And that's mm-hmm. going to make me, you know, right before God. No.
It's not a transaction, but something powerful did take place in order to give us this freedom and this gift and this privilege. And it would be silly if that's too shallow of a word for us to dismiss it or for us to ignore it or for us to not make it a serious thing.
So you're saying this, something serious happened and it would make it crazy for us to neglect. What is that thing that brought us into that relationship?
It's Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and the agony and the pain and everything, every aspect of what he endured for us.
Always
in our
back
place.
To the gospel.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. It's what he came to do is to reconcile us to the Father, make a way for us to have a relationship with him. And
so because of what he went through in order to give us that reconciliation, all the more we should be motivated and prompted in our spirit to come to him and to enjoy the blessing and benefit of him reconciling us to God.
Yeah, so having a healthy and consistent prayer life is less about a checklist of obedience, which praying is an obedient act because we're asked to do it, but it's more about an active and intimate relationship with our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 4, verse 9, but now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of this world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Like, we don't want to. God knows us. We're to be known by God so we can go to him. And this is another one of those beautiful verses that, rather, known by God. Like, he knows us so we can run to him.
Yeah, I think about when sometimes when we invite our children to pray, they don't always know what to say or even where to start. Part of that learning is understanding how to start. Like, what are we going to say? And when you were talking earlier about Christ just a moment ago, I was thinking, like, maybe the first thing that we start off is just gratitude. Like, God, thank you. Thank you. And recognizing what he's already done for us. But, you know, just like our kids, like, we may feel insecure in the beginning, but as we practice it and as we grow in this discipline and as this in this engagement with the Father, it does become easier.
Yeah.
And just like with our kids, we encourage them very simply to say hi, like acknowledge who you're talking to, right? Like, hi, God.
Dear Lord, hi, God.
Dear Lord. and then share what's on their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all of this starts.
Yeah. And we realize lots of different ages get hung up on starting. To be honest, like, there's probably people listening right now that get hung up on starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of an interesting thing to do especially if you don't have a pattern of doing it. But it's why we've written so many prayer books. It's, one of our heart's desires is not to, again, we always say this, not to replace your prayer life, but to just be a Kickstarter, a catalyst to say, hey, let us just help you start your journey. And then we want to see you keep going.
Yeah. Same with these devotionals. You know, at the end of each chapter or week there or day, there is a prayer, and it's just to prompt you to draw closer to the Lord. You can use it or not use it, however you want to use it, but our heart is just that you would try.
Next thing we want to encourage you with when it comes to prayer is we want to encourage you to jump in even if there's interruptions. So
just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus did in that story, which was a pretty crazy interruption. Especially for us parents who have a bunch of little kiddos running around. As a spouse, you have a spouse that's going to need your attention. So there's things like that. But we also have an enemy who's going to try and distract us, get in our way, stop us from communing with God, because he does not want that. So jump in even if there's interruptions, just like Jesus did, that even though he was interrupted, he did that faithfully and with grace and with mercy and with compassion, the Bible says. But then he immediately went right back into it. So even though there's a lot of people, a lot of things in our life that need our attention, we can still come to the Lord in prayer. And maybe in those moments, it's like, okay, Lord Jesus, just give me the patience right now I need. Right? Like that. A lot of my prayers are like that.
Yeah.
But still find the time to be alone and quiet. Early in the morning before anyone else is awake. On the commute to work, that's a great time when you're by yourself in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having that audiobook or podcast or your favorite song playing, drive in silence. And not really silence, but be communicating, having a conversation with God. Some other, you know, ideas during the day, take a few moments. If you walk to and from somewhere, like, you know, if you park at Target and you have to park all the way down to the end of the parking lot, maybe park there on purpose. And that walking, that distance, make it a practice of like praying while you're walking. Something that you do that was really encouraging. You've been getting into crocheting. but what was it called? What are you doing when you've been crocheting?
So
lately?
The friends, who taught me how to crochet recently, she told me this, and I thought, how precious, how powerful. She was making a baby blanket for someone as a gift, and she told me that because it takes so long to make, she used the time to pray over the mom and baby and the family as she was doing it. And so as I started to learn how to crochet and I was making a baby blanket, I also took the opportunity to pray for the family, but it was so cool how it turned into, kind of like you said, once you start praying for someone, you start praying for other people. And I have found so much joy in combining this hobby that I picked up of crocheting and sitting on the couch or sitting in bed and using it as a time to pray. It's been really cool.
By the way, I want to boast on my wife for a bit. I don't know if you've posted pictures of your crochet artwork, your blankets. Mm-hmm. They're really pretty. You should post them.
Oh, maybe I have.
You should post some so that people can see them, because you did a really excellent job.
Thank you.
First few, I'm like, okay, you got a crocheting talent.
It's been fun.
Second little boast is you've been painting lately, and your artwork is amazing. Do you pray while you're painting?
I actually, the same.
Or is it like too much focus? Like,
okay, hold on. The same friend who taught me how to crochet and told me about how she prays while she crochets happened to see a painting, because I shared it with her, of something I did recently and loved it so much that initiated me to paint one of her photographs. And so I haven't told her this yet, but as I'm painting, I've been praying for them.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a prayer paint.
So finding these moments, finding ways to incorporate these things into your life, time for prayer, quiet time, as Jesus did, getting away from everything just to be, it says desolate places. That's what it talks about in the Bible. He goes to desolate places, meaning there's nothing around. It's quiet. It's alone. It's just him and God.
So for the everyday mom, trying to get alone can be a little bit tricky.
Finding a desolate place would be like a blessing. It's like, where can I find this place?
In some respects, maybe. I remember a few years back, Sarah Haggerty, she's an author, go look her up, great stuff. She was talking about how she had a prayer pantry. So every time she needed a 5-minute just connection with God, because however her day was going, she made it funny. She said, I would go into the pantry and throw my apron over my head, and the kids knew like mom was not available. but she spent 5 minutes in her pantry when she needed it.
Yeah. So this other suggestion was having a prayer closet. Mm-hmm. Some people do that. Some people have a little space in their house, a little closet. Maybe it's their just regular closet, and they go in there and they pray. But there's ways to do this.
One of my favorite ways of communicating with the Lord is through journaling. We both have spent years journaling and writing out our prayers. Something else that I really enjoy is I have a journaling Bible, and so on the side there's just margin for that. And over the years I have shared snippets of prayers. And something recently that I got really impacted by is I was going through the Bible and finished that. And so just over the last couple of weeks, I've been back in Psalms and hitting some of those prayers from like 2024, you know? And I'm like, you know, it was about me being pregnant with Emrin, and I got to see, because I'm looking in hindsight, the answer, where my heart was off at, but also what the Lord did to answer that prayer.
Yeah, so journaling is really, really powerful. Cool. And I like the idea of writing prayers in your Bible even, because those become things you can pass down to your kids, and then they can see how their mom and dad prayed. Mm-hmm. Journaling is something that I used to do daily. I have like a bunch of journals, but it's something I've lost the habit of over the years. But it's something I'm actively working to get back into because it's so powerful. Writing your prayers down is not an easy thing to do. But for someone like me who, I don't know if I'm ADHD or not, but like getting distracted, thinking, like slowing down enough to write it down actually helps me get those things out of my heart, which is a big deal. When you can write down, take what's in your heart and write it down on paper, it actually makes it more real. It's no longer just this thing that maybe it was back in the back of your heart. You thought about it one time and you forgot about it. But writing it down, it's like, oh, like that is something I care about. That is something that's been on my heart.
And in the midst of writing, I've also noticed this this confrontation with myself in when you're asking of God. Mm-hmm. When I'm asking of God, the things that I'm asking of Him or requesting, petitioning for, when you're slowing down enough to write it out, sometimes I question, Why is my heart going there? Or actually, this is what I meant to say. And you kind of edit on the fly.
Do you ever find yourself when you're or either about to say a prayer or write a prayer down and you're like hesitant to even say it? Like,
I think that's
the I want to like say this right now? Do I want to reveal that? Do I want to ask that?
But is that part of the Holy Spirit doing that interceding for you and aligning your heart with His?
Maybe. I think it like those are the kinds of things that when you're doing this and you experience that moment of like, wait, do I even want, like, I have this thing in my heart. Do I even want to say that out loud right now? And it really is it's one of those check moments of like, oh.
Either way, you're already known. So it's okay.
It's so cool.
It's okay.
And the journal also, like you said, it also allows you to write down the answers you see God do. These are all really good things. However you can, make daily prayer a part of your life. Mm-hmm. Just make it happen. It's a non-negotiable for the believer. We need it. It's a gift from God. He knows we need it. He helps us to do it. He wants us to do it. We should do it more.
Awesome. So on the practical side of all of this, specifically praying for yourself, so the listeners today, what are just a few or handful of things that they can focus on to be praying for themselves today?
Can I share just some things that I've been praying for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll align with them. Some things that I've been recently praying for myself is that God would teach me how to be more intimate. Something that God's revealing to me is that I'm not a very intimate person. I struggle with it. So,
like closeness in relationships.
Yeah, closeness in relationships.
Conversations.
Yeah. Not physical intimacy. Emotional intimacy, being known, vulnerable, those things are very hard. Toward my wife, my children, my friends, I've been praying that God would transform my heart as a father, because I want to love my kids the way He does. And I fail at that. And so I've been praying and asking God to change me, like help me be the father You want me to be. I've been praying and asking God to renew my mind and His word. I've been asking God to give me a new passion and love for His word, because sometimes like... I've been a Christian since I was 18. That's what, over 20 years now. Not that I've figured it all out, but
it's a long time to be walking.
And I have this problem where I can't watch a movie twice, and so sometimes I struggle, and I'm like, I feel like I've read this a lot, but it doesn't mean that I don't need to read it. It's a flesh thing.
Maybe it's part of that ADHD.
And I'm asking God to help me with that. So I've been asking Him to help me be a better friend and open and honest with them. So those are the kinds of things that I've been praying for.
Awesome.
And you can be praying for me. And my listeners, you
guys
can be praying for me.
That's next episode. I can't pray for you yet. Just kidding. Some things that I've been focusing on for praying for myself. I feel like I come back to this one kind of cyclical. But
cyclical.
Anxiety. It tends to really flare up after I have a baby. And so just getting a hold of those thoughts, leaning in and trusting God until an answer comes or until the thing that I'm concerned about dissipates or there is some sort of answer to. Mm-hmm. Being in control when I feel emotional, when I get angry or frustrated about things, asking God to help me walk those things out reasonably and above reproach.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's physical for different things. Like I think I mentioned earlier that I stumbled last week and I rolled my ankle and it just got really swollen and hurt. And so that's just one example, but just praying for myself for different aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
Being more tender and kind in my responses. Sometimes I can be matter of fact or even on the harsh sides of things when I'm in go mode, autopilot, and just wanting to be more.
I'm sure no parent has ever gone that way.
I was talking about towards you.
Oh.
Just kidding. Towards everyone.
Sure no spouse has ever gone that way.
Goes
both ways.
And also wisdom for parenting, and I homeschool the kids, and so just feeling confident in that role and the way that I'm leading them.
Mm.
So those are some things.
Well, we hope this episode encouraged you. We have, at the end of each of these episodes in this series, we bring up a quote from our book, The Marriage After God. And this quote for this episode is, "You can know God intimately by becoming familiar with his word, communicating to him through prayer, worshiping him through obedience, and praising him with songs. Intimacy in your relationship with God will only be cultivated as you do these things out of your deep love for him." That was a perfect quote, actually, for me, because I struggle with intimacy.
It's really speaking to you.
Relationships. Couple of discussion questions for you to consider this week to talk with your spouse about. How has the guided prayers in this devotional impacted you?
Okay, so this is an interesting question for us answering it because we're the ones who wrote the prayers out.
This one's for them to talk about.
I know, but we've answered all of these questions.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode. So I'm just saying for
I
us personally right now.
I enjoy praying these at the end of the episodes. And what's cool about the prayers, if you didn't notice, maybe you did, we don't write them down before we pray them.
Mm-hmm.
Other prayers we do, but these ones we've been praying in real time with you guys.
In the podcast. The podcast.
In this podcast.
Yes. So they're not the direct guided prayers from the devotional.
Yeah.
But when I pulled this question from the devotional, I just thought it was funny because we're the ones that wrote them out. And so my point was, what I was going to say is they must have been impactful because they came from our life, like what we've experienced along the way. And we just wrote them in a way that, you know, are relatable to other husbands and wives.
I like it. So why don't you read that last question?
In what ways can you increase your personal prayer time with God? Like, what's one thing you can change tomorrow?
Something I'm personally trying to do right now, yesterday, today, is have quiet, dedicated alone time.
Mm.
There's a table right over there
with my
journals. And
I saw it.
And if it's weird because I'm like, I feel like I should be doing something. And I have to, like, turn my phone off and I have to put it away because all those things literally instantly draw me away for a minute. And I can't even focus. So.
How I would answer that question is I mentioned that I write my prayers out in my journal. Over the years, it has become kind of shortened, like shorthand prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking the time, even though it takes time, to write out more distinct prayers, more personal prayers, I've been trying that. And then the new thing is just praying with my hobbies. And I really like it. And I'm going to keep doing more of that.
I like it. Okay, call to action. This is your challenge for the week. Start a prayer journal or use your devotional, husband after God or wife after God, if you got one.
Or if you have margin in your Bible, you can also do it that way.
I suggest all three. So,
if you're praying without ceasing, you kind of need to change it up a bit.
All right, let me pray for us. Father God, we love you and we thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus, that by his death and resurrection on the cross, Father God, that we can be made right with you, Lord, that we can have a personal relationship with you, that we, God, can know you and you know us, that, Lord, we can come to you in prayer and we know that you hear our prayers. We also thank you that our prayers aren't meant to change you, God, but that when we come and we commune with you and we pray to you and we talk to you and we wait to hear from you, God, that what's happening is your spirit is aligning our hearts with yours, that draws us closer to you. I pray that all of our listeners would grow in their prayer life, God, to experience this with you, not to become more righteous, not to earn anything from you, Lord, but because you love them, but because they're yours, they can come to you. Lord, help us to do this more. Help us to find the energy to do it. Help us to remember to do it. Give us, I don't want to say give us more opportunity, because I think we have enough opportunity. I pray that we would take all of them. We need our connection to you. We need our relationship with you more than water, more than food. So teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And thank you for your patience with us and your love for us, regardless when we are incapable of loving you well, that you love us so well anyway. Teach us to pray for you, Lord. Pray to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We love you all. We thank you for joining us on this episode. We look forward to having you next time.